The following program is rated TV-MALV. It contains strong language and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Round them up and hang them where the world can see. It's the final countdown. Sure, it's just coincidence. It's not zero delta or anything that I sing that on my podcast episode. And hours later, Alex Jones starts his InfoWars broadcast with the exact same song. To the symphony of destruction. Comrades, welcome back to my podcast. I hope you enjoyed your weekend of sheltering in place over the ominous threat of nuclear annihilations. But just remember, there are no nuclear wars in Brandon's utopia. I wonder if I can snort coffee. Oh! Sorry about all that. Pre-production hijinks. Anyway, time to get serious, man. I mean, seriously. It's seriously time to get fucking serious. Got this friend of mine, guy that I really admire. You know, full transparency, he was my VA shrink. And then when I stopped seeking treatment there, he and I became friends, established a social relationship. Really good dude, man, you know. Hetero white guy who parasails and rides a Ducati and works with veterans and criminals to overcome their mental disorders. Specifically, he's a PTSD expert. Anyway, and he fits the part. I mean, if you met the guy, you'd be like, you know, wow, what do you do? I'm a psychologist. Really? Who do you work with? Vets and criminals. He's the guy that he was telling me, like, when he was in school and doing clinicals, that he would be there with like his class for at the prison, and they would have they would take turns going in speaking to prisoners and, you know, providing free mental health care support, and they're getting credit for their doctorate. So my dude was the one, he would say, yeah, he goes, they'd always, you know, they'd bring like the Green Mile dude in, and everybody, you know, on the other side of the glass would be looking at this giant motherfucker, and everyone would turn and look at me, and I'd be like, yeah, I guess this is my, you know, he'd be the one that was always get picked to go in to talk to the fucking, you know, Charles Manson. But anyway, just a really good dude, a few years older than me, someone I admired. You know, it was a beneficial situation for me that we clicked on different levels other than the patient-doctor relationship. You know, a lot of, after we got to the preliminaries of me learning to trust him, and or at least as much as I needed to seek the treatment that I had earned. You know, I was like, wow, you know, me and this guy, we got a lot in common. We just went different paths. He went off and went to college, and I went into the military. He became a doctor, and I became a broken vet. But during all that, we would trade stories and establish commonalities with each other across different parallels. And he's the type of dude that he walked on at a prominent Division I college football program because he turned down several scholarships to go there and walk on because they didn't offer him one. So he just showed up at their practice and made them play him. That's the type of shit that I respect. And then in our conversations, I remember him telling me about a future NFL player that he beat the shit out of in the locker room. I won't go into details, but I did recall the player. I was quite familiar with him, and I remember giving him a thumbs up, like, right on. I'm sure he deserved it. Anyway, yesterday, sometime in the mid to late afternoon, quote unquote, something told me to call him. I need to interject here because some years ago, in ancient times, my mother was passing away. And let me just let you know this, if you're a guy, you're concerned about relationships with women, you know, your first love and that special girl, that 10 that you hooked that one time, or that gal that you admire from afar, or your wife that tells you that she doesn't love you anymore. She loves you, but she's not in love with you. Any of that type of shit. None of it compares to your mother passing. So once you've lived through that, bitches can't touch you. Like my future ex-wife, how can you just walk away? It's like, you're not my mom. You haven't born me any children, so you're not a mother to my progeny. So good luck. Goodbye. I hope you find someone that you can love and be in love with. I hate your guts. No, seriously, I apologize. Try not to use that word. There's a reason for that. I don't hate that person. I just don't give a fuck. Anyway, so one day, it'd been after months, year or so, and I was getting to the final countdown. My mother had limited hours left here on this plane of existence, and I was spending most of my time in the hospital with her. But I got a reprieve. I went home to eat and shower and spend some time with my dogs, and I realized I was alone for the first time in months. And I imploded upon myself like a, what are those stars that implode upon ultra novas or whatever. Anyway, forgive me. But yeah, I found myself on my knees in my finished basement and sobbing and trying to pray to the King of Kings. And I couldn't get anything out other than, please help me. And as I mouthed the words, the phone rang. I went, what the fuck? Oh, shit. Got my shit together real quick. You know, hello? Hey, man, what's going on? This is my coworker, a dude that we worked next to each other for several months, and then he asked me to play in a recreational golf league with him. So once a week we would get together on Monday nights after work and go and play in a 9-hole golf league, and we established quite a camaraderie with each other. And he was a good dude, but I always just kind of considered him a work friend, and then kind of, you know, had some social interactions. I usually tried to keep a fence between myself and coworkers wherever I worked, other than the military, and even then it's smart to not mix social and business, because it's always personal. So I answer the phone, and you know, he's like, "Hey man, how's it going?" You know, and I was like, "All right, you know, I'm doing all right." You know, and he was like, "Well, you know, I was just wondering. I haven't heard anything from you for a while, you know, and no one knows what's going on at work, and you know, I'm concerned about you." And I told him, I said, "Man, I go, you know, to be honest with you, brother, I haven't mentioned it before, but my mother's dying, and it sucks." And he's like, "Oh gosh, dude, I understand. You know, this and that." And he's like, "Well, if there's anything I can do for you, just let me know, friend." And I said, "Well," I go, "I don't know if you've ever lost anyone to cancer, but it's fucking horrific. So if you would just pray for my mother and maybe for me for some strength, I'd really appreciate it." He goes, "I will. And just to let you know, I lost my father to cancer." So I hung up the phone and I was like, "Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I needed that." I was on my feet again, and I went on. I pressed on. And then when I returned to work days later, I remember as soon as I saw him, I clocked in, of course. I got on the clock, made sure I was being paid. And I went straight up to him. I was like, "Dude," I go, "Hey, man, I appreciate you calling me last week. You know, yeah, no problem, brother." I said, "I just need to ask you, why did you call me? What, why?" And he stood there and looked at me. He was like, "You know what? It was really weird, dude." He goes, "I had already timed out. I clocked out. I was halfway across the fucking parking lot to my truck, and something told me to call you." And I said, "Well," I go, "I'm going to share this with you." I said, "The moment that something told you to call me, I was on my knees praying to God for help, and you called me." He was like, "Wow, man. Yeah, we both just wrapped our minds around that." So having said that, dear listener, when something tells me to do something, I usually do it, and I usually don't question it. And when something tells me not to do something, I definitely don't do it. Having said that, when something tells me to fight for a righteous cause, I've come to the realization that I tend to avoid injury when fighting for a righteous cause. Just an observation I've made. Anyway, back to the moral of the story. So something told me to call my friend, and I did. And he answered the phone, and his first, you know, "Hey, what's going on? How you doing?" I said, "I'm awesome, man, as always. How are you doing?" Well, that's when he began to describe this, his heart condition. And as he was describing this extremely acute condition that he's recently developed, I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, this is a dude that works out literally every single day except for Sunday, I believe, and then he even walks his dog. He does cardio and weights. I know he's built like a dude 30 years younger than him, because he's had a lifestyle of moderation and activity and nutrition. He eats right. He drinks in moderation. He doesn't do drugs, any of them, nothing. He, again, exercises daily, and has been doing this since, I imagine, somewhere around Pop Warner football time. like me. It's a lifestyle that you live. Like the, you know, dieting and all that. You just diet your whole life. That's how you just learn to eat like that, and you won't look the other way and constantly be going, I lost 80 pounds. Like my ex-mother-in-law. That woman's lost like fucking 5,000 pounds in her fucking life. One time I remember her saying she lost like 80 pounds, and my response was, I go, that's almost another human. And she just kind of looked at me like, I never thought of it like that. It's like, yeah, that's a lot of stress you're putting on all of your fucking internal organs, your skeletal structure, everything, carrying around that kind of weight. So dancing those motherfuckers around and parading them across magazine covers as some type of alternative fucking lifestyle, being obese and sick, then you're more likely to run out and take some experimental magic fucking whatever, or eat it or shoot it into you that's going to change you. Because you ain't got what it takes to be you. Anyway. So I'd rather be a fucking has-been than it never was. So, yeah, this dude is explaining this fucking heart condition. I'm biting the tip of my fucking tongue off. Like, literally, I'm like, man, I want to ask so bad. But out of respect for my dude, who I never would have expected when he finally said it, after vividly describing this abnormality in his heart that recently developed just days after, you know what, I think it might have something to do with the vaccine I took. And I just went, I was like, do you think? I go, you know what, brother? I go, I'm not a fucking doctor, but I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here and say that there's 100% causation with your heart condition and that fucking vaccine. I realize that correlation does not establish causation, but fuck that and the axiom or the standard, I'm fucking laying it out there for you. We don't need to do any more studies or any more sample variables or participants. You experimented on yourself and you have a fucking heart condition now. And then he went on to tell me, oh yeah, you know, I mean, he said every single person he's dealt with, from his doctor, he's not showing any of the symptoms that should be associated with this fucking condition, right? Because he's in outstanding physical condition. He said that they've taught, you know, his respiratory system, his cardiovascular. And that's when I made the point. I go, well, there you go, guy. I go, if you hadn't had a lifestyle of physical fitness and been a healthy middle-aged man, you'd probably be dead by now. So what's the fucking moral to the story here? Why in the fuck did you get a vaccine? And he even said, he goes, I haven't had a vaccine in 10, 15 years. When he used to work in the hospital, see, they would pressure him into getting flu vaccines. But since he hasn't, he doesn't get them anymore. But this fucking thing came along, and apparently he was coerced by the narrative. And then he actually said, he goes, I don't know the government. And I was like, the government, the same government that fucked me over. The same government that fucked you over. And then he was like, oh yeah, they're fucking me over again. I was like, what are you talking about? When he quit the VA, he was all, you know, he didn't want to walk away from the position and everything, but it was a toxic fucking work environment. I was like, dude, why are you working here? It fucking kills you. It's disgusting. You've helped a bunch of vets. Go on with your life. Go enjoy the riches and rewards of being a fucking doctor with your own practice. And he is now. But I told him, I said, don't worry. I go, they'll contact you for some type of, arrangement in the future. And sure enough, like 3 months after he quit, they contacted him about seeing patients outside of the VA and paying him for it. So of course he does it. A couple years later, now they're fucking with his invoicing. I'm like, dude, they're fucking with you. What'd I tell you? If you think they're fucking with you, they're fucking with you. So if all of a sudden they're fucking up your money, then just tell them to fuck off. Decide how much of it you can eat. They'll eventually pay you. They'll just, you know, oh, hey, we corrected that. You know, here's that money we owed you. And it's like, yeah, I'm not doing any more work for you cunts. That's how you play them. They only, you know, they use you when they need you. So use them when you need them. I need to make some money. What kind of shitty work do you got for me to do? Yeah, I'll do that. Oh, you're going to fuck with my money? Suck a dick. Oh, and then they're like, hey, you know, you want to come back to work for us? Like me. I've quit a number of federal agencies, and they would all rehire me because I'm the most qualified candidate to the position I applied for. They don't give a fuck if they fired me or I quit or I blew the whistle on some fucking field office somewhere. It's just a matter of whether or not they can fucking utilize you if you're an asset to them. Like I said, the late, great Dick Marchenko, they pulled him out of a fucking cell in Leavenworth to go fucking kill some people for him. My man should have known all that. He's been working with vets for years. He's talked to thousands of dudes, at least hundreds of dudes like me, that have walked into his office and scoured the room for listening devices and shit. Anyway, I finally met my first vaccine damaged person, and unfortunately it's a dear friend of mine, brother. And there's nothing I can do. And I tried to dissuade him from believing the narrative when he was talking about wearing masks, and I smacked that down. I'm not doing any of it, brother. I'm not wearing a mask. I ain't getting a shot. I ain't doing none of it. I ain't buying a fucking bunch of vitamins and shit to eat. I'm just living my fucking life, and if that shit gets me, it gets me. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. I'm not afraid of invisible enemies. I'm more concerned with motherfuckers I can see perpetrating against me. So anyway, I know I went off on a bit of a tangent there, but it's disheartening to me that someone who I have such great confidence and respect for would endanger themselves like that. But then it just alludes to me that my initial reaction would have been, you know, like most people that I don't know that are vaccine damaged or keel over and die after they've been promoting it on their social media platform. You know, there's part of me that's like, well, there you go, that's what you get. But when it's my friend, when it's someone I know, I immediately told him, I was like, you're not going to die from this, you're going to recover, but you're going to have to modify your life with a valuable learning lesson. I said, basically, you basically have a purple heart in the spiritual war, literally and figuratively, but you won't die, but you should start looking at some type of protocol that they're using to reverse these damages. I know they're available, and it doesn't come in any type of shot form, and it's not, you know, it's a Z stack or whatever. There's plenty of them out there. And start looking towards reducing your workload and removing yourself from the fucking matrix that persuaded you to do this to yourself. If you want to work until you die, that's great, brother, but you know, they shouldn't be trying to kill you in the process. So anyway, yeah, besides all that, you know, all I can say is we're all on our own path and our own journey, and we all make our own decisions, whether we're forced or coerced or freely. And as long as there's me and at least a couple of hundred other million pure bloods, then apparently there's still a belief and a faith in God, because it seems more and more evident to me every day that you're less likely to put your faith in your government or an agency or a vaccine if you have faith in God.
This is a nation. The challenge is, go out and vote. Well, for God's sake, there's an election in November. Vote, 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 vote.